As many of you know, one of the great commitments I have at the moment to try and balance myself with all of the demands of modern motherhood and modern life is a commitment to creativity. I think as women, this is something that we've lost over the years. Our lives are so full and so busy and so productive that we've lost this sense of creativity in our lives. The joy in creating things. Who we are is expressed through the way that we set a table, make a meal, dress, write, paint, put music on, whatever it is. Creativity can be different things for all of us. But when we're consumed with busyness and motherhood, this can slip away. When this slips away, we lose ourselves. We lose a core part of who we're meant to be. Which is why I really wanted to speak to a beautiful writer and creativity mentor that I found online and stalked for a little while because her writing is so divine, and then reached out to ask if she'd like to be interviewed. Her name is Anna Lavind. She's based in Stockholm and is the mama of two girls and has been through, as you will hear, an amazing and deeply transformational journey through motherhood, in losing herself and her creativity, and having to find it again, a new way, a way that worked with motherhood and life. It is a beautiful conversation around what we really need as women. I hope you enjoy it. This is the Happy Mama Movement with your host, Amy Taylor Cabaz, author, mama to three, and editor of the Happy Mama magazine. In my mamahood journey, I have gone from an overachieving, addicted to busyness superwoman to finally slowing down, simplifying, and realizing that being a mama is the greatest self-development teacher in the world. And after more than 15 years covering breaking news, I've swapped current affairs to inspiration and now bring you the best I can find every week to help us feel more connected as women as we raise our families. Because when we come together, amazing things happen. So welcome to the movement. Anna, thank you so much for joining me. I have been reading and inhaling your words over the last few months. I adore the way that you write about motherhood and who we are within motherhood as women, and in particular creative women. So I'm so grateful that we could make this work today. Thank you.
Oh, thank you too. I'm so happy to be here.
So you're a mama of two and a writer and a creative mentor and editor, a very creative, passionate woman about your craft. How have you found motherhood and being a creative woman? How have you found they go together over the past 11 years?
Wow, yeah, it's been a bumpy road, really, for me to figure that out, how those two aspects of myself will fit into the same everyday life. Mm-hmm. Because it's not obvious. The creative life I had before my kids, I mean, that's it's another life almost. You know, life changes so much when you become a mother. It's almost not comparable. The time I had at my hands and the way I could focus on one thing, you know, and complete one task. That's not how it works anymore. You know, with kids, and especially small kids, your days are sort of chopped up into a million pieces, and you rarely have those, you know, hours, the stretches of time anymore. So creativity, my creative work has had to sort of adjust and adapt to that new reality. And I didn't want to at first, because I figured, like so many others, that I would be able to go back to what was before, to the person I was before, to the creative person I was before, and that there would be a period of adjustment, but then I'd be able to go back. But there is no going back. There really isn't.
There really isn't.
No.
And so, I mean, how long did that take for you to realize that there is no going back, that this was going to have to be a reworking of who you are and how you show up?
It took me years. Really, I think in a way I'm still sort of figuring it out as I go, because also being a mother changes when, as your children grows, there are new challenges and your everyday life and routines changes. But definitely it took me those first like 5 years, I think, when I only had one child, there was like, I was going from one extreme to the other. At first, just being totally committed to the child that was now in my care, and I was overwhelmed by the responsibility and by the way it sort of consumed all of me and everything that I was. So I didn't manage to maintain any kind of a creative structure in my life. And that sort of backfired. So then I went into some almost the other extreme. And in my actual life, this looked like when my eldest was two, her father and I actually separated for a while, because I was then at a point when I could not, I just couldn't stay in that all-consuming motherhood anymore. Mm. I sort of was desperate to find something of myself again, something of myself that I could recognize, and something of the life that I still at that point longed so much for, to go back to. So I sort of stepped out of the family picture. And of course, I stayed with my child as a mother, but it was, in a way, sort of trying to get out of this new life that I found myself in. And so that lasted for a while. And I started writing again, and I found some steady ground to stand on as regards my work. But there was still the fact that I had to step out of my family in order to do that. And it was, I mean, that was not what I wanted. It wasn't really. I was still in love with my husband, and I wanted to be a full-time mother. And so eventually, after much hard work and therapy and all of it, you know, I did find a way back, and my husband and I sort of started over and was looking for ways to do it differently somehow, find a way where I felt that I could be me inside the family, where I could keep those parts of myself and my life that were crucial to me, but also to accept the fact that I was not going to go back to what I was before. Life had changed, and that change is not reversible. And I mean, it shouldn't be. It's not a bad thing. The change is just so overwhelming and shocking if you don't expect it. And I didn't expect it. I don't think we talk about it enough.
We don't. No. And as you know, it's what I'm so passionate about. I am so grateful for your honesty about all that you've just shared.
What role,
I wonder, when you're looking back at it now, your creative identity play in those years of wanting to really remove yourself from your family and really try and find yourself again. Do you feel that that loss of your creative identity was at the heart of it?
It was at the heart of it, I think. There were other things as well. The shock of just finding myself in a family when my family of origin was a pretty destructive place. So that played into it as well. Trauma was reactivated and so on. But it was definitely the loss of... I was a very intellectual person before. You know, I lived in my head mostly. Before I had kids.
A fellow head woman.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it was safe and comfortable, you know. And then when I had kids, that didn't work anymore. You're sort of pushed down and through, down into the body, down into the grit and gut of it, so to speak. I didn't know how to be creative from that place. I didn't know how to function at all, actually, from that place. So it was the loss of, you know, time to do my creative work and all that. But it was also the loss of that intellectual, airy, heady person that I was before, because she didn't survive the transition.
Mm.
So I had to understand what's my voice like now after this transition, or while still in the transition, what is happening? How can I speak from here? How can I write from here? And when I stopped writing is sort of, it's the way I figure everything out. It's the way I know what I think even. You know, I've always been writing since I can remember, and journals and eventually it became my work as well. But I did, during this time, I didn't even journal. I stopped completely. And that is, for me, that's a disaster, because I really need it. I really, really need it for myself personally, but also because it's how I sort of make sense of the world, how I understand the process I'm in, or where I am in life, and all that. And
I agree.
It took me a good year or two before I could even begin to formulate things again to myself, before I could use my words again and my voice. And when I did, I mean, something shifted again, something. It was like a homecoming in a way, even though it was new. And even though that was a journey in itself, you know, to begin figuring out what am I writing about now? What makes sense from this perspective? Because it was so different from my life before.
I love the way you describe it. I feel exactly the same way about writing. It's often the only way I can figure out what I'm thinking is by writing it. And that's why it's always been my thing as well. But I wanted to say that I think for those mamas that are listening that might not have that traditional creative outlet like writing, I think it's important to point out that it's whatever you did before motherhood came along that made you really connect with yourself. You know, some of it might be the gym, it might be cooking, it might be gardening, it might be painting, whatever it is, but that space that you went to and you really kind of recalibrated, and whatever that is, that's what we're missing, isn't it?
Right. It's meeting ourselves, really. And we do that in so many ways. And I also, when we speak about creativity, we often think about the traditional ways, writing, painting, whatever. But I like to think of creativity in a wider definition of creativity. To recognize that we are creative in our everyday lives every day, because we wouldn't function otherwise, we wouldn't survive, and that stays, that doesn't change. When we become mothers, we are still being creative people, creative beings every day, and to recognize that and to learn to see how we are creative in our interactions with our children, in the way we cook, in the way we keep space for their creativity to emerge, and so on. we regain something of ourselves in that as well. It's okay, so maybe we can't sit down for 2 hours to write, or we can't get to the studio to paint or whatever we used to do before. But there's still creativity in our lives, and it can still be refuge and a healing even, if we recognize the way it expresses through us right now in this phase of our life. And also to recognize that it is a phase, that it will change and pass, and eventually down the road there will be more time again.
I love that you've pointed out that creativity is still within our lives right now. It just is different. And so we can be creative in the way that we put the dinner together. We can be creative in the way that we plan our weekends. There's different ways of being creative, even in the trenches of motherhood.
Right. And that takes a little awareness on our part, because that kind of creativity is not valued. It's not recognized the same way as these more obvious traditional forms of creativity is. Just the way that I think that motherhood is not valued. It's at all in our culture. It's a huge part of the problem, actually, that we this the difficulty in the transition, I think, has to do with the fact that motherhood as a job, as this monumental task, it's not recognized. It's the conversation about motherhood in our modern patriarchal society is more like, this is something that women do, and we do it on the side, sort of. We manage it on the side of our regular lives. And it's like that's destructive. And I think part of that is the fact that we don't see how creative we actually are in just the way we live with our children. We have to be creative to live with children. It's part of the job description. It's not the fact that we can be. We are daily. But that kind of creativity work that we do is not recognized. And so often we don't even recognize it ourselves.
Oh, thank you for saying that. That is exactly how I feel about it as well. So one of the pieces that you wrote that I absolutely loved was you were talking about your writing and how you have really wanted to honor this creative side of yourself. And you were putting aside time, saying, right, tomorrow, from this time to this time, I am going to show up and I am going to be the writer. And that you described it as that you cannot be a soldier to your creativity, that the night before you were up all night, one of your girls was awake, and you turned up in those hours you'd set aside for your creativity. You realize that you can't just soldier on and push through, that you have to accept that in this time of your life, you are a mother, and that means you can't be a soldier. Can you talk to me about that realization? Because it was such a beautiful way to describe it.
I think two things are required if you want to maintain a creative practice as a mother. And it has to do with this piece that I wrote about soldiering on or not. And especially as a mother of small children, I think, when you're sleep deprived and all of that. And the first thing is that we really need to get real about the life situation we're in. Now, as this time in our lives, we're mothers. And that is, even if it's not recognized, it is a huge task. And it has practical consequences. It means we don't have as much time as we did before, or even as much time as we'd like. But to get realistic about how much time you actually have in your life right now, and make peace with that. This is what is right now. I have this much to work with. Even if it's 15 minutes a day, that's what I have right now. And that I need to adjust my aspirations, the dreams I'm going to be able to make real during this phase. They're going to have to adjust to the fact that I have 15 minutes a day to work on the dream. The rest of the time I'm busy being a mother.
And it's such a hard realization for so many.
Yeah, it is, because it's that whole thing about having it all and being able to do it all.
Yes.
We're grown up with that, and it's just the worst lie. I'm not inspirational at all in that sense that I preach having it all, or you can do it, you just have to up your time management skills or whatever. I don't believe that at all. We can't have it all. But we can have what's most important to us. And that will require getting real, like I just said. And it will also require saying no a lot more than you'd like, and probably a lot more than you do right now. Fierce prioritizing. And not just remove the things that you'd actually rather be rid of, but you're going to have to start saying no to things that you actually do like and that you want in your life. At this time in your life, when you're a mother, you can fit very little beyond that into your life. So you're going to have to be super picky about those few things that you invite in, that you say yes to. And every yes has to be defended by a thousand no's.
Oh, wow. I love the way you describe that. It is so true.
It's so hard, and it's so true. And I, for such a long time, I did not accept that. And that's, I just soldiered on, you know? I was so tired. I didn't sleep, and I didn't care. I pushed on anyway. And I made myself sick, you know, actually sick. I hurt myself. And that's what we do. Yes. And the epidemic of burnout is part of that. We soldier on. Because the thing is, you know, even if you get real about your life situation, you have these 15 minutes a day, and you learn to say no and sort of prioritize in your life until you have a reasonable amount of things on your plate, even then things will happen. Life will happen. You know, the kids get their 10th cold in a month, or your dog needs to go to the vet, or you become sick, or something happens to the house, or, you know, whatever, someone in the extended family dies, or you lose the job. I don't know, something can happen, and they do happen enough so that it makes sense to actually expect them to happen. And then we have that choice. Okay, so I had made these plans. They were reasonable. I thought they would work out. And then life happened. And now what? And that's when I had, for me, that's when I had to make that choice. It's, okay, so do I push on through here, or do I accept the fact that, okay, I'm human. I have this job of being a mama, which is number one of my priorities. I have my health to take into consideration. And at this very moment, nothing else fits.
Mm.
And to make a choice from there, I never used to make, I always chose the soldiering on path, and it never worked out very well. I mean, I was productive.
Mm.
I got a lot of things done. And
but at what cost?
At what cost, exactly. I made myself sick, and I'm not alone in that. I know that we're taught to do it that way, and so we end up sick. And
we idolize it. I mean, I know
in
my upbringing, I made myself very sick. I'm still not well because of all the years of me soldiering well past what I was capable of. But in my mind, that's what successful women did, was they ran on 4 hours sleep a night. They ate, you know, very little food. They, you know, I grew up in the 80s. You know, the women that were our role models, that's what they did. And so that's who we thought we needed to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is sort of the direction we took sort of in the early stages of women's liberation, when we figured freedom and equality looked like doing it the way men has always done it.
Yes,
exactly. And ignoring the fact that we still have most of the responsibility, if not all, for children and the home and so, well, over the world. I mean, it's different for different people and different families, but as a rule, women still carry a heavier load at home. And that was sort of ignored. And we were supposed to do that and also do it the way men have done it out in the world, the workplace. And that has come at a cost. I think now we're starting to have those discussions like, okay, so if it doesn't work to do it that way, their way, then what is the way that would work? How can we do it and remain sane and exactly. healthy? And that goes, I mean, when we look at it, it's not only the fact that we as women and mother needs to do it differently. Actually, men needs to do it differently as well. And we need to sort of embrace the more feminine energies and qualities in society as a whole. Yeah.
All of us, exactly.
Right.
So, Anna, your children, your girls are now 11 and 5. I know your youngest is not sort of completely into that school routine, but after 11 years of motherhood and having gone through all of those realizations and reprioritizing and surrendering and accepting this time in your life, once your youngest does get into the school routine and you do start having more and more space for yourself, how do you think you will be different? Do you feel like you will still honor these really strong boundaries and look at your work and your time and your health completely differently, even when you get that time and space back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that will be interesting. I look forward to that phase when they're both sort of beyond the... They're not small children anymore, the school children, and that will be different. I know that since I've seen my 11-year-old go through that, those new faces. But I think what I've learned during these 11 years, that will shape how I work and how I am as a human being. I think it has changed it forever.
Mm.
I will have more time. Of course I will, because, and I probably will have more sleep, and that changes things as well. I will have more energy, but I still think this tough prioritizing, I think that's still will be at the heart of my creative practice and the way I do life, actually. Because motherhood and when the kids are young, I think that's the most challenging phase for us to maintain a creative practice in our lives. Definitely, I think that's the most challenging aspect. But, still, as a creativity mentor, I've worked with hundreds of people by now, and I know that even when you actually have time, you don't necessarily use that time for what you want. So learning to prioritize like that, like you do when you're a mother of young children, that's invaluable, really.
Yes.
Because as soon as you have more time, there are also so many things you could fill that time with. Mm-hmm. So having your priorities straight, that will be helpful all through my life. I'm sure of that.
Yes, and I know for me, next year my youngest starts school, and it will be 11 years of having children at home with me, but you know, before school children. Yeah. So 11 years of three children until school age. And I know that even though the space and the time will begin to change slowly, with this, he'll still only be five, so slowly, I know in my heart and soul, Anna, I will never be the soldier again.
No.
I'm just not ever willing to do that to myself or my family or my health ever again. So even if I had all those hours back, I would just show up so differently.
Yeah.
I never push myself like I did again.
Right. I mean, and that's, I feel that as a commitment to myself. And also, I mean, I have two girls. How will I model being a creative person, a working mom, a wife and a mother at home? How will I show them how to do it? It's my commitment to showing them another way is just as important as finding another way for myself. I mean, they do what we do.
Yes.
They look at us to see how things are done. And I don't want to teach them that. I don't want them to know to believe all the things that I believed before about what success looks like and how to function in this world. I want to show them something else. I really do.
Yes. Oh, what a beautiful commitment. Wow. Anna, your words are just as divine when you speak as you do when you write. Thank you so much. What a beautiful conversation. I so appreciate that we could find the right time zones and the connection was right. And I know that all my mamas are going to absolutely love this. So thank you so much for your inspiration.
Thank you. It was beautiful to speak to you.
Well, mamas, I loved that conversation. Anna's words are so divine and as beautiful as her writing. Please take a look at her writing in the show notes. But what I really hope we could all hear in this conversation is the importance of boundaries, priorities, accepting that we are not soldiers anymore. That the idea of having it all just meant we were sick and burnt out. And that right now, in this season in our life, we must find a way to honor ourselves and our creativity, even if it's only 15 minutes a day, but accept where we are and know that we're doing the best we can. Thank you for listening, and please share this podcast with all your mama friends so we can continue these really important conversations. This is the best way that we can change how motherhood is valued, is for us to start having these conversations. Until next week, Sat Nam, beautiful mamas.